Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. 2, 3.
Yes, yes.
I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain. And the moment that you wander from me, I want to feel my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love. Then you softly breathe. And it's me.
Tonight, this is your host, the Empress, and we are on the Empire tonight. And it is, what is it? It is March the 14th, January, March, March the 14th, 2021. And y'all know what? I forgot it was daylight savings time. I woke up today and I just woke up. And then I got in the car and I realized that the time had changed in the doggone phone. And the car was still an hour behind. Like, nobody told me. I want to know how we have to, why we got to keep doing this, because it just don't do nothing but make confusion. Like, it just messes up real, real bad. Or, but yeah, I know as soon as I get on the air, people start texting me. You know, ain't nobody called me all day. Ain't nobody said nothing to me all day long. You know, I have friends, but, you know, they ain't saying nothing to me about the daylight savings. But I did have a couple of friends to reach out to me and tell me about Kirk Franklin. And you know what? I don't care. First of all, let's just go ahead and say this. Christian folk cuss. Yeah. Christian folk cuss. And so do folk that are not Christian. Everybody cuss. Like, I think everybody cussed. Before I get on that tangent, I just want to welcome you to the Empire. I'm your host, the Empress, and my co-host is getting in. I think she may be on the line, and our guest is on the line. I just want to make sure everybody's lines are open and ready to grind. Tiki, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, and Tiffy, are you there?
I am here.
Great. I'm so glad for you all both to be on the show tonight. You know, Tiki, this is her second home. You know, she's my co-host. I just kind of it's just what it is. And we haven't been able to be in the same place, but you know, the world will open back up soon. That is coming. We're going to be able to be in the same place, and we're going to broadcast at the same time in person with our mimosas and have a good time. But tonight we want to talk a little bit on a serious tip. You know, everybody says relationship. Everybody experiences, I think, probably different levels of love relationships. But, you know, everybody hasn't been, in, you know, me, I'm going to talk about me. I haven't been in a substantial, serious relationship since I've been divorced. And that's been about, I can't even count now, for I have to add up the numbers. But everybody has been in relationships. And I have always believed that infidelity was a type of thing that only happens in love relationships. But I'm not really sure if that's the case. I don't know. I'm hopeful that we'll have men on the show. I just got a text from one that says, yeah, I'm calling in because I want to hear about this. You know, because I don't know that men have the same idea about infidelity as we women do. But before we get too far gone, I want to introduce, I want our guest to introduce herself to us. I think this is going to be a very interesting show, and I'm very grateful for her, you know, reaching out to me, not to expose anything that she doesn't want to, but in my friendship with her, I share with her a lot of what you say internally, you know, can sometimes be in your head and not all the time positive. I think sometimes when you say things out loud, it can help you to heal, and it can help you to hear the things that you're saying to yourself. And in that, we began a conversation. And before I go too further, introduce yourself to our listening audience, Tiffy.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Tiffany Gilner. I am Mars Point bred. Love my city. I am a mom. I am an educator. I've been in education for 14 years now. I've just recently came back to school district as an instructional coach, so I'm very excited about that new role and that new opportunity to work in a little bit different path in education. I do have a couple of little side things that I like to do. I dabble in graphic arts a little bit, dabble in making T-shirts and things like that. But family-oriented, I love my kids, love my family. I love my job, love what I do, and I love my friends. And right now, I'm just kind of living. That's pretty much where I am right now, just living day-to-day and, you know, trying to figure some things out, you know.
Right,
so
right.
This is just living day to day. That's kind of where I am. So many things have been a blur for a while, but I'm just in a point to where I can actually live. And that's one thing that I don't think we really think about on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Do we really, really live, you know?
Girl, let me tell you something. COVID was, of course, a devastation to the world, humanity-wise, disease, of course, would be included in that, medical-wise, because this was something that the medical world had never seen before. But I think that we fail to understand how life and living didn't come to a halt. It made you almost have to focus. And in this time, you know, I'm wondering, can you tell us just in a nutshell kind of sort of what happened? Because we named the show Infidelity. Let me give you this definition first of all, because it's something that I had to learn, because I thought that infidelity was only related to marital relationships. Infidelity is the act or the fact of having a romantic or sexual relationship with someone other than your partner in disloyalty. It's a breach of trust, and it occurs when there has been a contractual understanding between those two people, and not contract as a marriage license necessarily, because it doesn't say marriage. It just says the fact of having a romantic or sexual relationship between yourself and another person. So tell us, how long were you married, or were you married? And this just snuck up on you, but how long were you married?
So we were legally married for about 13 years. We were separated about 2 years prior to the actual divorce. We were separated, yeah. So we got married in 2006. We're together off and on during that time frame. But the final straw came in October of 2017.
Okay.
But he stayed home another month or so before he actually left the house. So he left the house like November 2017. And things were kind of just what they were. But let me back up a little bit and kind of give you a little bit of that history. Like I said, we got married early. I was in my early 20s. He was fresh out of high school. I'm a couple of years older than him. He was fresh out of high school. We kind of met at a place where we worked together. And it just kind of went from there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got married, got engaged very quickly, got married about a year and a half later. And we got married like that July 2006. I got pregnant August of 2006, and it just kind of went from there.
You became an instant wife and mother. You are
quickly.
Instant wife and
quick.
Okay. All right.
Mhm. Mhm. So, and that's kind of where my focus went, my family, my husband, my kids. So Tiffany got put on the back burner. So that's where my focus went, my husband and my kids, and that's kind of what drove me from then on. Signs were there, things that I noticed that he would do, how he would act.
Okay, you got to tell us that if you're willing to, because again, I don't want you to disclose, because this is not to be in your, you know what
right.
I'm saying? Because I really see
Absolutely.
How different you are. And I want the people who are listening, because I know there are other callers who are listening in who may be going through this exact same or similar or have question about this thing. So what you saw flag, because I'm a flag
so
girl.
There were things like he would... He kept his phone really, really close. By back then, phones were not as advanced as they are now. So he had, you know, the little flip phones and things like that. But he kept his phone really, really close all the time. He always kept it on silent. So it never rang, but it was always on vibrate. So it would go off. At the time when we were first living in Moss Point, we had a computer. So he was always on the computer. I was on the computer. And now, mind you, he wasn't in school or anything like that that required him to be on the computer that much, but he was always on the computer. He rarely went out. Like, he didn't have a whole lot of friends. He rarely went out. But there were times when he wanted to go out more often. So it was just things like that. And then it was always that intuition. Always the intuition. Always that feeling in the back of my head that something was not right.
Okay. And by
question.
Yeah, you say you had this feeling in the back of your head, in the back of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So with the length of the time that you were still together, how long did you put that in the back of your head, because I, and this is just me speaking, and Tiki, your line is open if you'd like to speak. I think that a lot of women have a knowledge, but the fear of knowing exactly what it is outweighs wanting to know the truth. Would you say that is the truth for you?
Absolutely. And then also how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Culture things, you know what I'm saying? Like when you get married, you get married. You work it out. You know what I'm saying? You fight for your marriage, all of those different things. So
mm-hmm.
for me, you know what I'm saying, trying to build my faith and really, really build my relationship with God and the church that I was at the time, that was what was taught. You fight for your marriage. Things can be worked out. Everything can be worked out. You fight for your marriage. So all of those things played a role. So it pushed my intuition further back.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was there. I felt it was there. I knew things were happening. Because we're as women, we're very, very smart. We're very smart creatures. We know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But a lot of times when you have those things and you have all of this weight, okay, well, you know, we're gonna pray about it and we're going to keep it moving. When things would surface and I would find out and I would bring it to his attention, you know what I'm saying? Now, of course, the first thing he would do would deny. That's not what it is. We just friends. This is that other blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, okay. You know, and he may leave and go out for a couple of weeks or may go out for a month. But in the back of my head, I loved my husband, I loved my family, and that's what I wanted. So I wanted my family to work because I grew up in a household where that didn't work. So I tried to do everything to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But the harder I fought to make it work, the more it fell apart.
Okay. So would you say that it was one thing, because I've read where women have said, you know, that they can put up with a lot of things, but infidelity or that whole sexual idea of sharing their bodies with another person was a final straw. I personally don't know if I had infidelity in my marriage. I don't know that for sure. Once I was done, I didn't need to know anything else. It didn't even matter. Did that exact thing have to be the final straw, or were you gone and just was physically still there, like you were, like your marriage was over, but you didn't know how to be over it? You know what I'm saying? What was it?
Oh, absolutely.
That ended your marriage.
Absolutely. That was the final straw for us.
Yeah. What was it? Was that the final straw? The infidelity.
Infidelity part was not the final straw. That wasn't the final straw. That played a role throughout our entire marriage. That was off and on throughout the entire marriage. So, but we had disconnected long prior to that last date when he actually left. We had disconnected long prior to that, but we were just trying to keep it going the best that we could. But the last, when he wanted to leave for the last time, because he had come back and forth so much. Like, we had gotten used to, even my kids had gotten used to him being gone for a length of time. And I had gotten to the point where I had just had enough with you. If you gonna fight, then fight. But you just keep running in and out, that's what I couldn't do. Because I don't know now, I don't trust you, so I don't know what you're doing when you leave.
Okay.
As long as he was there, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know what he was doing. Of course, I didn't know what he was doing when we were together at the house. But I definitely don't know what you're doing when you're leaving and you're gone for these length of period of time. So that was the final straw for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that. I said, if you're going to leave, you're going to leave out the door. I said, and this time you're not coming back.
Well, it's just so hard for me to hush, child. I'm a hush right now. I'm going to see if Tiki has anything to say, because I have a couple other questions for you, and then I want to be able to open up and go into some other questions. Tiki, did you have any particular questions for Miss Tippy at this point?
I do not.
Okay, she do not. You know, Tiki be on a straight study when she be on the show. She be listening so hard, girl. She be listening so hard. I wanted to chime in, but listen, I think that you being able to just share this with us at this point, I think it's just healthy altogether. I just got a text from somebody that says that healthy relationships are created with love and loyalty. I posted a question earlier, which would you rather have, love or loyalty? And I'm going to ask you that, Tiffany. Do you think that you had love in your marriage, even though it came to, do you think you loved more than he did, or that there was a loyalty issue? Because I think I was confused about that as well. Which of the two, or if the both are necessary?
I think that for me, I think they're both are missing, because you can love somebody and not be loyal to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I when we were talking, do I think that he loves me? I think that he loves me. And I think, you know what I'm saying? I do think that he loves me, but I don't, he loves me to a certain extent. I don't think that he really knew how to really love me enough and be the husband that he needed to be. I think, like I say, I think that he loved me. I was, you know what I'm saying, we were pretty good friends. You know what I'm saying, we can talk, we can have conversations, we can laugh, we can play around, we had kids together. Yes, I think he loved me. But in order to really love me the way I needed to be deserved, that I deserve to be loved as his wife, I don't think that he could. I don't think that he had that capability to love me in that way.
Mm. So I want to ask you this question.
And of course, like I said, I think love and loyalty is important. He could not be loyal to me or his family. He couldn't be loyal.
Okay. So I you know, I had to look it up because, you know, I just, you know, I'm so emotional. I'm too emotional at times. I get all mixed up in what things are. And loyalty is defined as a strong feeling of support or allegiance, feeling a part of, and it has nothing really to do with the love emotion. It's often used interchangeably with the word love, and I actually posted that question online earlier just to see what people would say, and a lot of people just refuse to separate the two. They said you can't have one without the other. They both are like the Q and U. Who is the Q and U? I don't know what he's saying. If if I love you, I don't know, child. I'm reading what Felix has said online. If I love you, I'm loyal to you. If I'm loyal to you, it's because I love you. And that's just not the way that it has to be generically. Now, I think people can choose that, and that can be your answer. But if there's anything that you feel like you contributed to, since infidelity was not the final straw, is there anything that you would do different to have salvaged that marriage, or do you think that you just exhausted everything that you could have done?
I feel like I exhausted everything that I could do. Like, I feel like I did everything that I possibly could be. We went to counseling. I prayed about it. But I don't think that it was, I don't think that there was anything else I could have done, because, you know, and even with me studying now and being in a relationship now, people grow and change over time. And you have to continue to, you know what I'm saying? You have to grow with that person. You have to be willing to grow and change yourself. 10 years in, I was not the same Tiffany I was in 2006. 2006 Tiffany and 2016 Tiffany were becoming two totally different people.
Right.
Because now I'm in education, I'm teaching, I'm doing all these different things. My kids are growing, all these different things. So I'm, and even internally, I'm not the same person. But he, to me, seemed to be the same person that he was when we got here.
Wow.
So as I'm growing and changing,
there is not much growing and change on his end. I felt like he expected for me to be the same person that I was when we got married, and that was not possible. I couldn't stay the same.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I couldn't stay the same. But he wanted me to be that same person. I wasn't the same person. So the expectations that he had for me when we first got married, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You wanted me to be this same Tiffany that did all these different things. Well, now I'm a different person. I'm an educator. I'm a mom. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm trying to be the best wife that I can be. So I'm trying to balance all of these things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, some things took priority. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a grower. And now I'm moving into my 30s.
Mm-hmm. Girl, you young.
So there are some changes that are occurring. And he wanted me to be the same person. I couldn't be the same person. But then, too, I'm expecting for him to change. You want me to meet your expectations. I need you to change me some of mine.
Now, all of this particular show came out of me posting something on Facebook. And I want to play that right quick, what this guy says. First, he was just cute. I was like, what is he talking about? But he was on TikTok, and I'm going to try and play that now. Let's see if we can't get that to play on here so that we can hear what he had to say. But I think it had a lot of impact on this conversation, but it was really, really good for me. Let's see. Here we go.
Breaking to some of y'all, the wrong partner. Y'all know what's going on. Y'all know what's going on.
Okay, so when he said that there's no such thing as a home wrecker, there's no such thing as anybody on the outside of the home having that level of effect on the inside of the home. And if it's okay with you, I'll read your response to that. If you don't want me to read it, I won't read it. Okay.
Go ahead.
You know, there were several, it was up for quite a while. It's been up for about a week, but immediately after posting it, you said this. Period. I hated her a long time. I have to pray about it today because it's hard. There's more to it, and she did play a major role. A lot of betrayal. However, he was supposed to nip it in the bud. That was his responsibility. Oh, well, moving on to something bigger and better. And I told you, you know, I'm so, like, that was so big of you to admit, because a lot of women act like she really doesn't matter. When in some way she doesn't matter, but the fact of her being relevant, she matters. You know what I'm saying? Like, she don't matter, but she is like, girl, don't try to act like that.
She matters.
She is, right. She's not a vapor. She is a real thing. So tell me how, first tell me or validate what I think a lot of women understand. The other woman, we think about her in this elevated place of magical expectations, the bomb, all of this and all of that. Why did you initially hate her and don't hate her today?
Okay, so this particular woman was a woman that showed up years ago.
Okay.
So this is not the first time we've had this issue.
Okay.
We all went to the same church.
See? Oh, Lord.
So,
okay.
Okay, come on. You right.
Because I'm holding my breath. Okay.
Right. We all went to the same church. So there were times when they would meet up.
Mm.
Okay, right. So that's how I found out the first time. Because you walk out, let me follow you, because you doing this is becoming, again, that pattern, that's some signs. So this particular time, I'm finally acting on this, you know, this particular
intuition.
Incident. You walk
right,
out.
Right.
So you walking out. I see this person walking out, so let me walk out too. I need to know what's going on. So that's where I see the meeting of these two. And that's kind of where, you know, that started years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this your husband? Was this your husband then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you told me that this
tree.
We have
been married for like 6 years. We have been married for 6 years.
Girl, you saved.
But
really,
it was after the first time. Because after they kind of got, when they got caught, they kind of stopped talking for a minute. But this is the, the dumb Tiffany. I'm going to say the Tiffany that just always give people the benefit of the doubt. Because this is where I felt like I made a mistake. She ended up getting married a couple of years or so later. She ended up getting married. And guess who she starts to try to have a conversation or a friendship with? Me, she, her. Just random, out the blue.
Wait, speaking, wait. To you?
Yes. Speaking to me at church, sending me happy birthday. I mean, she had gotten my number, and she would call and ask me questions about her marriage and things. I mean, all this advice and stuff that she wanted from me. Mind you, Tiffany trying to give people the benefit of the doubt. Tiffany trying to be the bigger person. Tiffany trying to, you know what I'm saying, move forward. That's why I hated her so much when all of this went down, when we finally divorced. That's why I hated her so much, because you tried to befriend me after the fact, and now you're coming right back around doing the same thing again.
Now, So she tried to be, you discovered that she was being inappropriate first. She gets married, and then she tries to befriend you. Like, what she got, what you want? Like, y'all went to church together, so you had this common faith effort together and this same spiritual house together, but you saw who she was. I still wouldn't have fought it myself. I don't think that you are stupid today for that, do you? I mean, you don't think
I don't. Like I say, I just, you know what I'm saying? I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know what I'm saying? I always try to, you know what I'm saying, be the bigger person and take the higher road. You know what I mean? Because for me, you never know who God is going to put in your path for whatever reason. And it could be the very person that you turn away that you may need to bless in order to get something for. You know what I'm saying? You just never know how God strategically orchestrates different things. So I'm just always trying to just, you know what I'm saying? Of course not, you know, some things you, I'm just like, I can't do. But I always just try to be the bigger person. So... But that's why I hated her so much, because you, to me, it felt like you, it was a motive from the beginning, from you doing it the first time, trying to be my friend, and up until now, because even when I first had the conversation with her, when I found out that they were talking again, even when I found that out, when I had that conversation with her, we had been, you know, we've been best friends for years now. I wanted to say, it's your best friend. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it felt like it was a motive from the jump. That's why I felt like I was stupid. Because here you are coming around again, second time. Now y'all got a baby together. You see what I'm saying?
Wait a minute.
So
okay,
let me back
maybe
up
I'm...
a little bit.
Okay.
let me back up a little bit.
Okay.
When he left in October 2017, mind you, we were separated. Let me not take that from him. Let me not take that from her, because we were separated when she came back into the picture. Me thinking that they had already been back talking prior to him leaving. But I didn't find that out until later. So right after my dad passed away, and he showed up to the graveside probably about, we had just finished. He didn't come to the wake. He didn't see about my kids, how they were doing, none of this. And I couldn't understand why, because he knew how much my dad meant to me and how much my dad meant to the kids, to the boys, and how much my dad took care of him when he got sick, because my dad lived with us right after Katrina, because he was staying in Mobile at the time. So he played a pretty big role in our lives, including his. But he wouldn't show up. Like, I couldn't understand why. So, mind you, he's still gone. He's gone. I'm still paying the cell phone bill. So we've switched companies. When we switched companies, I looked over the new bill to make sure the new bill was correct. And you see all these different numbers. So I'm just kind of scrolling. Huh? So I see this particular number that pops up. And I'm talking about 80-something minutes, 60-something minutes. I mean, these long conversations. And I'm looking at the area code. And I'm like, well, that's not mine. So I dial the number. And guess who name pops up in the phone?
Her name.
Her name. So now I'm pissed. So, that's when I found out that they had started back talking. Now, fast forward another 4 months. This was November. Fast forward to February. His granddaddy is a pastor. And so they have their church anniversary. You know what I'm saying? His pastor anniversary every year. So that particular weekend, the boys are getting ready to go with him for the weekend. During this time, even let me back up to September of 2018, him and I are together. We're like, he's coming over, you know what I'm saying? He's staying the night, we had sex, you know what I'm saying? This is what he do. A few months later, like I say, after my dad passed away and we moved a little further to February, which is pastor anniversary, a mutual friend of ours, you know, we kind of have talking. I was, able to confide in him a little bit, wanted to know who she was. So I pulled up on Facebook. And guess what I see on Facebook? It's a baby shower. Congratulations. It's a girl.
Wait,
what? And he's like, man, stop playing. That's probably not even his kid. I said, I'll tell you, it been that. So I asked him.
So why after all of this is that important? Because you had to know that he was being with her. You knew he was being with her. What is it about her?
I didn't find out that they had gotten back together until after we had separated.
Okay.
I knew they had talked prior. But I didn't know he was talking specifically to her. I knew he was, you doing stuff, you talking this and that, but I didn't know it was specifically her.
Her. Okay.
And
so
her specific.
So you said in your post that you didn't hate her. Do you hate her now? Do you hate her today?
I don't hate her. I don't hate her. I don't hate her at all. I don't particularly like her, but I don't hate her. And I make sure I teach my kids to respect her, because that's who he is about to marry.
Oh, they're about to get married.
So that's going
to
be my kid's stepmom. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's about to be my kid's stepmom. So now I got to really, I really got to have a whole lot of prayer.
Right. So,
Okay.
Do you hate him? Do you hate him?
I don't hate him anymore. No. I don't particularly like him.
I don't hate him.
No.
Okay.
I don't hate him.
So
and,
tell me.
You know.
What? How? I mean, I'm just trying. And I promise you, I knew some of this story. I knew the timeline. I want to open up the line to a couple people that have, said that they want to kind of chime in. I want you to be respectful of my guests. I don't want you coming for my guests. But I just really want to understand, how you can't be shattered. How do you even trust anymore behind this? Or what did you do?
Let me tell you, I cannot give you the framework. The only thing that I could do, because you know, it was a time period where I was shut down. I wouldn't talk to nobody. Because remember, you reached out to me and said, hey, you know, this, this, and the other, you know. And I was like, I can't. Like, I had to be in an alone space. Like, I didn't talk. It was months. I didn't talk to nobody. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. I shut down completely because I felt like he took everything out of me. I shut down. I had to focus on me because at the end of the day, regardless of the situation, I'm not fighting for me. I'm fighting for my kids because my kids are still kind of young. They're broken and I'm broken. So I've got to get me together because they're depending on me to still be mom. They're depending on me to still be their caretaker and provide for them and make sure they, you know, things still run the way they need to run. So I had to do a lot of praying. I had to do a lot of studying. Like, I had to dig deep, and I had to look at, okay, look at Tiffany. What are some things that you need to do? What do you need to fix? I had to look at me because, like I say, I can't blame him totally for our marriage failing. I know it's not all his fault. I played some, you know, a part. And I questioned everything. I questioned every single component of myself. I questioned everything. I felt like I had failed. And like I say, I hated her because I'm like, what does she have that I did? You know what I'm saying? You got a whole family over here. And there was a period of time that he didn't work, so I'm holding it down. We one check, one income household.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to look at that, and it was the guy that I'm dating now. I tell you what, let me throw this disclaimer. Dating while you're healing is definitely is not a good thing. Not a good thing. But because him and I focused and just wanted to be friends first, he played a major role because he was able to see things and point out some things that I couldn't see. Because even though I'm in this space, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to do that, I'm trying to figure it out, there are still some things that I couldn't see. So as I started to emerge and just talk, you know what I'm saying, just really started to kind of get some things out, talking to different friends, and just, you know, he saw some things that I didn't see. So I was able to work on those things. And then again, so that's what helped me get through all of that. And then just even having a conversation with him and with her. I sat down and had a conversation with the two of them, and I told him what I expected. Because now at this point, it's about my kids. Whatever you two got going on, that's your business now. But there's a line that I draw, and that's when we had we still had friction because she wanted to be Mrs. She wanted to be head honcho. You can be the head honcho in your household every single day. But when it comes to parents and apprentice, him and I have a conversation. Now, I teach my kids to respect her because that's who he lives with. Never disrespectful. Oh, yes, the same things you are taught in my household, you apply those same things. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. You be respectful. This, and that, and the other. Because, again, they're going to be, that's going to be their stepmom. But at the same time, I need to have a conversation with her because I needed her to understand where I was coming from.
Right. That is, you know, I have never... Lord, I just, first, I'm full. I'm very full. I'm very full because I think that for you to still be within your right mind, honestly, with having to take on all of the regular responsibilities of being a parent and being, you know, in relationship and so on and so forth, but to have an active, living, breathing next person, like, right in your view to the point where you're still going to have to interact with this other person, like, that's some God, that's got to be some God strength stuff. TK, I don't know if you have any questions, because infidelity is not just related to married persons, because it has to do with that relationship and the bonded agreement in that relationship. And if this is not actually the proof of how you can be misguided, misled, disloyal, and dishonest, regardless of a piece of paper, I don't know what is. And so, Tiki, did you have anything to say? Because, I mean, it's a lot, but it's very, it's not limited just to persons who have been married.
No, I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding. That's why I waited. I wanted to make sure that I got the I don't want to say story, but the situation mm-hmm. correct. Mm-hmm. The female was reaching out to Till. It seems like she was, we know that right now, but this is what I wanted to say, that she was reaching out to her to see where her head was, to see what was what, so mm-hmm. that she could continue or get, you know, ease her way back to messing with this man or dating him or whatever wording you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And that really hurts my feelings because I'm real mean and I would have never been able to even hear what you're calling me for. You tell me what
right. And that's the thing, because in the back of my head, I still have to see her. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I still have to.
Right.
I have to see her, and she got to interrupt my kids, baby. You know how much I don't play about my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like, those are my gifts. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I give some God, and I'm very protective of my babies. So
right.
that's what hurt so bad for so long, because we always want to say females don't play a role. It's the husband, it's the male. But sometimes they do play a role. And
mm-hmm.
the situation, you got to be very, very careful with that statement. Because in my situation, she played a role. She purposely, you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because at some point, you could have said no. You see
yeah.
what I'm saying? That's what hurt me, because as a black woman, to another black woman, as much
mm-hmm.
as we, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
talk about how we need to uplift each other and empower each other and all these different things for
yeah.
another black woman to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, you
mm-hmm.
purpose, like, the first time I'm going to give you that pass, but to do it again,
mm-hmm.
and you meant to do that. And
mm-hmm.
you knew he was married, and you knew he had children, young children. You see what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? So you meant that. So that's what pissed me off. That's why I faulted her and not just him, because she
mm-hmm.
could have said no. Even if
yeah.
he didn't say no, then she still had the right, still had the opportunity, and she didn't. And that's why it hurt so bad, and that's why I felt so betrayed by not just him, but by her, because
yeah.
of it. And now I have to see you and interact with you, and now you're going to be around my kids, lady. I'm telling you, Chance, it was too many times. I remember a conversation. This was over the summer. My son was playing basketball, and she wanted – very clingy. She wanted to always be in the picture when it came to them. You know what I'm saying? That wherever he goes, she right there. He can move left,
mm.
she right there behind him. If he fart and struck a man, she'd blow up.
Mm.
Because she wanted to be right there. And I think there was just some insecurity things with her. But that's on her. But she wanted to be, so every time my kids, now mind you, he has gone, so my kids don't get to see him as much. So when they did come over there, allow him to have that time to spend with them.
Right.
You ain't got to always be right there when they're going somewhere and doing something.
Okay. So
and
we
so
have a
it
couple.
Was, she drew a wedge. Oh, wait.
I'm sorry. She drew a wedge between your
him,
ex.
My
and
kids
the
and their dad.
Right. So we have a couple callers that are on the line. I don't know if they want to chime in, but they just kind of wanted to get an update on a subject. We have Miss Tiffany online, who's explaining to us her survival of infidelity, where she had that to enter her marriage to the point where he is at this time engaged and has fathered a child and is planning to marry, you know, this woman. You know, and it's hard for me to call her that, but I'm just going to say it like this. And I want to say what I got to say at the end anyway, but I think it is true. You know, we always are saying you need to look inside in your relationship because something must be missing. But I know too many women who are doing everything that they can. You know, it may not be up to standard with that man, but she's doing everything. And if she needs instructions and he's not giving and she's continuing to do the same things, then he's taking that as if she's doing what she knows to do. I don't see how you can excuse another woman into the equation from having some fault at that. Yeah, it's his fault. Yeah, he your husband, but yeah, she is wrong too. Like, I would not be at all mad if you said that you still hated her today. I mean, I know hate is not something, but it is the correct response in this situation. I don't see how you cannot have that as an emotional equal to what has happened to you. So I want to open up the lines to those of you who are on the line. You don't have to identify yourself except for calling you by the last four digits of your phone number. If you'd like to chime in, if not, just say hello. First caller, the last four digits are 3422. Do you have anything to say to our guest or on topic? 3422? And you know, some people don't know their phone number. Just to be real, you know, a lot of people don't know their phone number, so I'm calling out the last four digits of your phone number to let you on air to have a live response if you'd like to. 2021, are you there and can you hear me?
I am here and I can hear you.
So what have you to say? Because it's a lot. It's a lot. Have you ever been a victim of infidelity? Because you don't have to be married, but it is often related to the conversation of married persons, but it's a betrayal of relationship. Have you ever had this experience?
I have had the experience, and I got to tell you, I hate this subject, but it's not going to go away. You know, I was just talking about this earlier. You know, I think that you know, if the women were better, then the men would have to do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're up against. I mean, that's the way of the world. You know, mm-hmm. It's just the way of the world. The women now are just as bad as the men.
Mm. And by that, you're saying we need to do what differently? Because I'm just trying to be clear on what you're saying. The women need to do better. What do we need to do?
I mean, I'm not necessarily, I'm saying not me, or I'm sure definitely not the woman that's been hurt here on your panel tonight, but I mean
right.
The women as far as engaging in it. When a man comes at you and you know that man is married, I think they need to say no. Learn how to say no. That's what I mean. We're up against ourselves because somebody told me, I think it was the day before yesterday, they said, you would be amazed at the women that come after me just because I'm married.
Mm.
And it's good for. That you, I'm glad that you said learn how to say no, because that's the one thing that I didn't know how to do. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know what was really feeling good or what didn't feel good. And that's the one thing that I needed to know as I went through my healing was understanding what I really like, what I don't really like, and I'm not saying and not accepting less than what I felt like I deserved, and learning to say no if I didn't feel good, not having it just because, oh, you know what, I got it. No, if I don't like it, I don't like it. Learning to be honest with me and knowing how to love properly, how to receive love properly. And that's the one thing that I'm teaching my boys now, because I don't want them to grow up repeating the pattern. So I have to stand up and show and teach them how to love women right and how to be loved through my actions. You know what I'm saying? As a woman, I'm not saying you got to go out and marry your mama, because that's what we teach young men to do. You know what I'm saying? That's what's being taught.
Uh-huh.
A lot of men marry image of their mama. You know what I'm saying?
But I need
to know what some things are.
No, I was going to say that's kind of crazy. Marry your mama. Like I have heard that idea, and I have heard that, but the indication of taking on a mate that has attributes of your mother is totally aberrant type of relationship to me. Like, there is nothing about, you know, I mean, I get what they're trying to say. You want somebody that's going to take care of you. You get somebody that's going to cook for you. You get somebody who's going to make sure you're okay, who's going to love you regardless of the things that you do. But the role of mother is exactly not what I'm trying to offer as a wife to a grown man. Like, a mother is a mother to a child, and a mother is a person who is taking care of someone who cannot take care of themselves safe and who needs directives. A wife is the opposite of that. And even those of us who believe in scripture, they wouldn't have to tell the husband to cleave to his wife and leave his parents alone if you weren't being told, now you on your own now, boy. You on your own.
Right.
You got your own family, and you have your own responsibilities. So I just don't get that. I've never understood. Yeah. I do not want my son to try and mirror what he wants in a woman because of me, because I am overly, you know, I have one son, and I'm very, he was my first child, and there were not, you know, there were not many grandkids of age, like little bitty kids, when I had my son. So he was behind Cameron, but it was just like, and we were away too, I was just extra protective because he was the only seed past myself, when especially when I divorced or what have you. But I know the things that I did for him were because of my mother role, and what I've exampled to him is just of the things that he needs as a human being. It's got nothing to do with his maleness as a way of being a husband. I can't see it. Now, men may be able to tell me something different, but I've heard of that, and I just don't understand that.
I don't either.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I don't understand it either. Like I said, I just want my kids to know, you know what I'm saying, what love, you know what I'm saying, do my best, try to show them what, you know, what love feels like, and, you know what I'm saying, help, you know, helping them to be able to choose right for themselves.
But, okay,
what's good for them.
You said something earlier that I kind of jotted down. You said there had to have been some things that you may have contributed or wasn't available to that may have helped this infidelity. Not necessarily that you caused it, because I think that's the wrong idea, because I think grown people who make grown people decisions and they grown enough to step out ain't got nothing to do with somebody pushing you out. I've even heard people say that you always accusing me of it, so I might as well go on and do it. What exactly do you think you did not do that may have made this easier for him?
One, I think when we got married, I can say I got pregnant right after, and I went into mom mode. Not necessarily trying to neglect him and his needs, but I had twins. I had two little people that I had to take care of. And he was not the best helper in trying to get things done. So I'm having to work overtime to hold, you know what I'm saying, a household down. So over time, and then he has a condition. So he had to be off work, you know, for some periods of time. So again, I'm work mode. I'm trying to establish my career. I'm trying to be a mom, trying to grow my faith and build my relationship with God. So I'm continuing to try to grow in that area. So it was a number of those things, but I don't know. Like I said, I just felt like I did the best that I could with what I knew how to do at that time. But the one thing that he said to me that really ticked me off,
when he wanted to leave the last time, he said that because we were not having enough sex was his reason mm-hmm. for leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And it upset me because for me, and I'm speaking, I can't say for all, but for me, it's an mm-hmm. emotional tie, it's an emotional connection. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm coming home every day, if I got to come home, I've got to work all day, come home, get the kids together, get dinner together, make sure the bills taken care of, all these different things, and do that too, I'm exhausted by the time I get, by the time I take my shower and go to bed, I'm exhausted. I am tired.
You know, I
and that's on
a
day-to-day basis.
And I'm feeling you. I'm totally with you on that because when we've had just a couple of, maybe it was last week, maybe it was the week before that, we're talking with the men about sex, period, and how mm-hmm. they say how simple things are and that you cannot hold grudges when it comes or hold sex as a hostage point when you're in relationship and that you can't mm-hmm. weaponize it and that you still need to be able to turn over and give it up. And like it's in these instances where I think my point is better made. There is an emotional place that giving ourselves to a man, I ain't talking about when you just getting your rocks off, because I think in some ways women can be just like men. We just need to get some, and that's it. And I don't care about you, but there's a difference when you have someone, right? When you have someone, you're just having sex and somebody that you're really in a relationship with where you're bonded at a different level. And again, it doesn't have to be in a marriage state, but it has to be in a place of emotional contract where if that person is being disloyal or not honest and untrustworthy, it's hard to get to that place if I'm there and you not. Like that, I don't.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's the thing. For him, I think he just wanted sex. I needed intimacy. I needed mm-hmm. a little bit more than, okay, we just been bone out in his bed. You know what I'm saying? So there were some
right.
things that I needed him to do. You know what I'm saying? Because you coming home, to me, it's just, it's almost dead wrong. He didn't work the whole entire marriage. So there were periods of time where he had nothing to do.
Mm.
And I still have to come home and do all these different things. And you still want me to do all these different things. And you don't do nothing. You see
mm-mm.
what I'm saying? So over time, there became an emotional disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
So it really got to the point. We were just two people that were living in a household together, trying to raise these kids and trying to save me. You know what I'm saying? Whatever form of marriage we had at that point. So, of course, now, but you're talking about day after day after day after month, year after year. Of course, it's now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard for me to just kind of, you know, give it up like that because you're not feeding me.
Mm-hmm. So tell me this. Where are you now? How are you now? Because that's been how long ago? And you say that you're in a relationship now.
A few years now. I am in a much, much, much better place now. I am healthier.
Mm-hmm.
I am emotionally healthier, spiritually healthier, physically healthier. I am in a relationship with a great guy. He's so supportive and so helpful. He has definitely played an intricate part in helping me get through and putting these pieces, you know, back together. And like I say, we built our relationship on friends. We were friends first. We were friends for a while before we actually became together. And that was a great thing because I had never done that before. I was always, oh, okay, we go up and girlfriend, keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what that means. So he taught me a lot about having a real relationship. You know what I'm saying? Building a relationship, having a nice foundation for a relationship. And so, yeah, like I say, we've been together for a little while now. I've been dating almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we are dating with purpose. We're dating
mm-hmm.
to
you know, have an end goal of getting married and having more children. And
have you all set rules? Have you set rules? Because it's got to be a place in you where you've got to have. I mean, I think all relationships of this level where you're dating for purpose and a certain type of relationship or a certain intimacy level, there's got to be some similarities in that. Have you set some rules this mm-hmm. time that you didn't do the last time, or, you know, how, because
I've been very open about what I like and what I don't like, particularly in the areas of intimacy, you know what I'm saying, just, you know, being in that space and you have to be honest. I had to be honest with me first. So, and now I can be honest with him. And he respects that. You know, he respects that. And he is honest about whether or not he can or cannot meet that need, mm-hmm. you know, or meet that, you know, expectation or whatever. So I could say that has helped kind of guide our relationship. And it's been good. It's, like I say, their dad and I, we don't talk very much. I kind of keep that between, you know, him building a relationship with our kids, because now they're teenagers. So now whatever relationship you build with your kids is between you and them. So I try to stay out of that. The only communication that I need, like if we, you know, if it's something important that we have to have a conversation about. But I he's not an easy person to talk to. And so, you know, there's some things that, you know, like I said, I'm not going to speak a whole lot about, you know, him and his stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's still some things that need to be, that he needs to do that's beyond my control. So it doesn't help the relationship between him and I. So I try to just, like I say, I continue to pray. I continue to pray for him. Because at the end of the day, he's the father of my kids. So you know, whether or not he on what God is trying to get him to do, it's on him. But I do pray that he be, you know, the best person that he can be for our kids. And if not, then I know that, you know, God is going to fill the void and be, you know, provide what they need regardless. And I can say, but I just try to make sure I steer them in the right direction and make sure that they're even respectful to him. They had turned away from him for a minute, you know what I'm saying? They didn't want to talk to him or be around him for a little while. So I had to kind of, as I was kind of getting through, I had to kind of coach them through as well. Because at the end of the day, I teach them to be respectful. That is your dad. You respect him as such, you know what I'm saying? And I had a conversation with all of them, him, her, and the kids, so that they could be honest about how they felt, because he didn't understand
how they
were feeling.
Right.
So they were able to tell. It broke him down. Mm. He cried. He broke down crying because he didn't understand how much he was hurting them. Because, you know what I'm saying? And that's what they failed to realize, that y'all, not only y'all, even if you hurt me or not, you hurt, there are kids involved. And that's what I think people tend to forget. When you have children involved, it's a whole nother level of drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and they were kids old enough where they could, you know what I'm saying, experience some of, you know, what was going on.
Well, I
want to
open up.
But yeah,
better place. I want to open up the lines to 2021 if you have anything to say to our guests before we end the show.
I do apologize. I tuned in a little late. I meant to get here a little earlier, so I kind of missed everything. I got a little snippets of it, and what I do want to say is congratulations on moving forward. I mean, you did get through it. You did get to the next step, and that means a lot. So I want to congratulate you on that, and I wish you
thank
well
you.
With everything.
Thank you. That is so nice.
Thank
and
you so very much.
Black women ain't all bad, and we ain't all trying to get nobody's husband. 3422, you want to offer any advice to the caller? No, 3422 does not. Tiki, do you have anything to add to the caller? The male guest said that he thinks that she needs advice from the women tonight. And it was something similar from our other male caller. So we're going
to. Oh, I kind of wish I would have had some piece of
you know what?
Me
too.
I would have loved to hear that. We could do that again.
And look, and he was there. And I'm going to tell you, I got something to say about that too, because I think I'm going to say it later. Tiki, you have anything to say about our caller? Because you be learning too hard. I've been waiting on you to give me crossover.
What I wanted to say to her was thank you for sharing with us tonight. I commend you for even being able to speak with her. As I said earlier, I would have never been able to give her any part of me. But I also wanted to say this, and it kind of takes us back, but I know we're ending, but I did want to say this. When we say that the woman or the female, and this is to all of us, because I've gotten like that too, but I have to step back and say, remember this, Tequila. When your husband, or if men are listening, your wife or girlfriend or whatever, the loyalty is between you two. She doesn't have any loyalty toward us. She don't care about us. She don't care. So it's not she should have did it. No, she ain't studying it. She's feeling for herself. She's fending for herself. She's trying to get somebody. He's available. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's going to do whatever. The loyalty lies between the husband. Hey, I'm married. Mm-hmm. Hey, no, I'm not doing that. So we can't get mad at them. And it's for me, too, is what I'm saying. The loyalty is within that union. We can't get mad at her. Yeah, I'm mad at you, but you know what, girl? Don't call my phone.
Well, I appreciate
it. For the time of day. But yeah, that's all I wanted to say. But thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you so much.
Is there any one piece of advice you want to give to the listening audience? Because I already know that you've helped other callers on the line. And I know that after the show on the blog, it'll be posted. I may not share this on Facebook because I just know that sometimes people can misconstrue or they can pick and pull things. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go into the blog, you can go into the blog. You'd have to pay to download it or something like that. But it's safeguarded for these reasons because it's real. Like, this is real. This is real life. This ain't no joke. This ain't somebody that I particularly don't care about. This is my friend, and I want you to be safe haven from any, you know, ill will about it. But if you have one point of advice, Tiff, to give to anyone who may be going through or something similar, or having even having questions about the relationship that they're in, whether or not if they should stay, what would you say?
Be honest with yourself. Be honest with you. And if I can't tell anyone to leave or stay, I cannot tell you to leave or stay in your marriage. The only thing I can tell you to do is to be honest with you and do what you need to do. Do what you need to do. That's the only thing I can say, because you know, it's not an easy journey. It can be complicated. It can be messy. It can be all these different things. But just be honest with yourself and love yourself enough. Because that's the one thing I think I wish I would have done. I wish I would have loved me enough to move on a long time ago. That might have been the thing that I wish I would have done, was love myself enough to go. Because even at the end, I didn't leave. He left. And it still took some time. I didn't even file for divorce. He filed for divorce against me when I found out about the kid, that she was pregnant. That's when he filed for divorce against me. I still didn't file for divorce because we were supposed to have a conversation together and sit down and talk about what we was going to do. So we were still trying to somewhat be cordial and end things in a good way. But once I found out, then that's when he filed the divorce. So like I say, I wish I was honest with myself. I wish I loved myself enough to know when it was time to go.
Yeah.
And to do what I needed to do. So
I thank you so much. I thank you so much for coming on, because it's a hard subject to talk about, honey. I'm going to let the applause go all the way to the thing, but thing about it is this. I have no advice, just like Tiff just said. I would never tell anybody what to do in a relationship, because honestly, your relationship is yours. It is yours and his, or whomever you're in it with. It is yours. And if you decide that you're going to stay, then great, stay. If you decide that you're going to leave, then great, leave. But I think the point of healing has two particular parts that a lot of the times we forget. And with my short little study of, you know, what does the world say we're supposed to do? What is the statistics of infidelity and marriage and cheating and adultery and all that kind of stuff? And so now we know that infidelity doesn't necessarily mean that you're married. It means that you had an agreement. You had a relationship that was determined. And one of those partners became disloyal, effectively being dishonest or withholding from that other partner. That's the definition of it. That's the end of it. So you can add all the other stuff that you want to, not to minimize the other themes of marriage or relationship, because you can have a 10-year relationship, never sign any marriage papers, and have built a mecca together. I'm not minimizing that at all, but what I'm saying is that infidelity affects people similarly when they are being told or treated in a dishonest way. The first thing for you to do with regard to healing is to actually understand where this infidelity came from. And I'm not talking about being an investigator and going and getting phone records and stuff. I mean, that's just natural things that we would do. It is what we naturally do when we want to find out something that someone's withholding from us. So I don't fault you for doing those things, but intelligent discovery that brings you to forgiveness, forgiving with intelligence. And what I mean by that is this. If you're able to determine what the reason is, then you're able to possibly solve the happening of this again. If you're not able to determine what actually led someone that you were in relationship with away from you, I'm not saying it's something that he definitely did. It could be something that you weren't actually given that he's been asking for. Like, it could be a number of things. Now, we're all thinking that we, you know, perfect in some ways and that we give everything that we can, but you're actually of service in relationship to the other person, and it should be the other way. If you start a relationship where all that's done and served and given is to one side, do not think that anything other than that is going to be the expectation. You cannot set up a relationship feeding it 100%, and suddenly somewhere between year one and year five or year 13, oh, I want you to give half. You're changing the dynamics of that agreement. And so, yeah, you know, things are not going to be perfect 50-50. You're supposed to give and take. But if you set up a relationship in a way that it is already unintelligent, like doing all or giving all, and never receiving anything, you're setting yourself up for some sort of distrust or disloyalty in the beginning. You've got to understand what happened is not your fault if you didn't do the deed, because you can have a unequal relationship where I'm giving 90 and he giving 10, and that relationship still keeps going because everybody's okay with that being divvied out that way. But the moment that somebody gets unsatisfied, the moment that that communication changes, the dynamics change, somebody else wants something more, someone doesn't want to give more, you're starting to have a discord on what the agreement is in the beginning. So I'm not saying this is your fault. I'm just saying understand what your agreement is. And then when you have been wronged, Like in this instance, I just can't give him nothing. I'm just stuck. He just was wrong. Now he was wrong, and he was given a chance to get it right, and he still got it wrong. Now that's just my opinion. She said, I believe she agreed with me. At the end of the day, he chose wrong. Do not own nobody else's stuff. When someone has done you wrong, understand that the effects of their wrong in a relationship may fall on you, but understand what you did is different than what the other person does. Too many times we fight a battle for somebody who's sitting back watching us get slaughtered. Like in this instance, you know, she gave the option to try to get it right, and you still wronged me. That union was destined to not be. And you can call it being a bigger woman if you want to. I think she saw the writing on the wall and decided to save herself and save her children, even though he decided to walk out. Because, you know, some women will hang on to, that was my man first. That was my husband. That is my money. That's my car. This our house. But his heart and everything about him is somewhere totally different. Those things cannot equal to be a relationship. It just can't. And it's not that you shouldn't try. I think you should try. I think you're owed to try. I think the reason why people come together is for that very reason. You know, there was something they saw in that other person, and now we want to make something work. Let's do that. Let's do that thing. Let's try it. Got to be an equaling on both sides. And you've got to be able to communicate it. Like, it's nothing wrong. Like, I've heard women say, you know, he wronged me and he did this and he did that. But then they can't ever talk about how that hurt. Now, I'm talking when you want to heal the relationship, when you're trying to fix the relationship. But if it's over, it's just over. Ain't no need in rehearsing things just to keep yourself in a place of hurt. When you have gotten over this relationship is done, understand and communicate that it's gone and let it go. But if you're going to try to stay, you can't ignore what has happened in that dishonesty. You can't ignore what has hurt you. You can't pretend that it didn't work, that it didn't hurt. Like, I'm good at pretending like you ain't hurt me. I've been in those places where I know I've been hurt really, really bad. I've been hurt. And then I said, I'm not going to even give him the satisfaction of knowing I'm hurt. What you do is you give people a pass to continue to mistreat you when you don't love yourself. Just like Tiff said, I wish I had to love myself a little bit more. I wish I had a little bit more of caring about myself, because we actually teach people how to treat us even when it's wrong. If you don't let somebody know that they're hurting you, they may be inadvertently hurting you, not even on purpose, but in relationships, you need to be able to say that, and especially when there's extra people that's related to it. Now, I've never been one to say, stay for the children. That's just my perspective. But, I mean, I did. I tried to stay for the children. Hell, I stayed too long for the children. I thank God that I got out of that before I stayed and taught them this same folly, to just let people treat you any kind of way they want to treat you. The truth is that everybody wants to have trust. Everybody wants to have love. And everybody wants their love and trust to be respected in a way to where it doesn't have to be dishonest. You don't have to sneak out to somebody else about what you can have here. Say what you need. Be vulnerable and say what you need. But again, you can survive it if somebody is determined not to give you those things. Infidelity does not have to dissolve a marriage. You do not have to have it just totally dissolve a marriage. But if it is dissolving you, if the infidelity is living in every part of your being and you're not the person of it, it's a curative for that other person to come and fix it, or to come in and let's fix it together. But if you live with infidelity, you're living a lie, and you're going to end up not living well at all. You'll be trapped in a past. Like, I really do applaud Tiffany, because I don't know. I would have had to fight at least one time. maybe a couple of times, or make it difficult, because I'm just human. Wanting people to feel the same hurts that I feel, I think it's human. Wanting people to understand what they've done to me when I don't have the words is human. But the people who are closest to us have the biggest effect on our humanity and sanity emotionally. And if you can't trust the person that you betrothed yourself with, or that you committed your life to, or that you're having these intimate moments with, who are you supposed to trust? We ain't studying the people we work with, the people at the gas station, the people at the grocery store, the people that you're in true relationship. And covenant relationship is not all, that's not the only one you can have is a marriage one. You can have covenant relationship with somebody else in other ways. You've got to learn how to love yourself. You've got to learn how to love yourself even more than your circumstance. Because the circumstances, as long as you're living, will continue to change. They'll continue to change, and things will be so much healthier in yourself. You'll find a place of where love is supposed to be. You'll find somebody who can actually take care of who you are on the inside versus just on the outside. So sometimes you got to cry through it. You'll cry today, but then tomorrow you'll be a lot better. This is one of my favorite songs that is from a movie that was a Spike Lee movie. I can't even remember it, but I fell in love with the words of this song. I think it's very befitting for this show. And listen to it. I hope you enjoy. See you next time on The Empire.
I got problems, and I'll be the first to call them out. Yeah, I get lonely, 'cause lately friends don't stick around. But I keep my hopes up, 'cause that's the one thing I can control. I don't fill my mind with petty lies, I let that go. I don't fill my mind with petty lies, let that go. And all the troubles in my life won't bring me down. And all the struggles in my life, they teach me how. How I'm perfectly imperfect. And when it hurts, I just remember there's a purpose. So I'll cry today, smile tomorrow. I cry today, smile tomorrow. In those nights when I'm all alone, feeling defeated and being abandoned and far from home, I sit in silence on the sidelines as the world moves on, with puzzle pieces in my palms, wondering what the hell I did wrong. And all the troubles in my life won't bring me down. No. Teach me how I'm perfectly imperfect. And when it hurts, I just remember there's a purpose. So I'll cry today, smile tomorrow. I'll cry today and smile for all of those walls I've broken through. All those times I couldn't choose the cards on the table, the facts and the fables. Smile for all the ones who hold me up when the weight is just too much and I can't bear it on my own, even when I know that all the troubles in my life won't bring me down.
Cry today, smile tomorrow.